Lord, Heavenly Father, may these be your words and not my words. Bring life and transformation to us all. Set us free into the fullness of your life that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're all looking awesome this morning. You are awesome. I don't know if you're feeling awesome this morning, but the truth is you are. If you believe that you are a spirit-filled believer, you are awesome. Paul talks about prays that we would know the power of the love of God, that power that raised Jesus from the dead. That is the power that dwells within you and I. It's not our power, it's the power of Jesus Christ. And you are armed and dangerous, whether you like it or not. And I just want you to imagine putting your name in that scripture, that testimony of Peter and John's story. It's easy for me to put my name in it. It's there already. But I want you to put your name. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." He took him by the right hand, helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. I wonder how that makes you feel, putting that name in you, in that place. Let me leave that for a moment and come back. This is an amazing story and testimony of the reality of the kingdom of God and the battle that is around us. It's the battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. It is an illustration of the battle between darkness and light. It is ultimately the good and the evil. And I'd submit to you, it's an example of what it means for the spirit-filled church to go about its business now here in Malvern and in everywhere we are about. And that's what this morning's about. What does it mean? What does it practically look like to be the spirit-filled church? So let me unpack that. What do I mean by the kingdom of God? Well, very simply, and I hope it's familiar with you, it's not a geographical marked out area of land. When the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, it's referring to where God rules. It's where his authority and his sovereignty exists. What does that look like? Well, wonderfully, I didn't realize it, but Joe had that, we said together Psalm 103. That, it's what it looks like. Let me read you a couple of others. There's wonderful scriptures that summarize what the kingdom of God looks like. Isaiah 61, Luke 4, Jesus quotes Isaiah 61. "The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort those who mourn, to provide those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes." Luke 7, another description of the kingdom of God. The disciples of John go to Jesus and says, "Are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus was curing many diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to those messengers, "Go back and report what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." That is what the kingdom of God looks like. In Acts 10, You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning at Galilee after that baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. The disciples were expecting a military commander to arrive and kick out the Roman conquerors and to restore Israel. But Jesus' kingdom and the kingdom of God was not what they were expecting. It was where those people are cared for, restored and transformed. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. Where people are spiritually returned into restoration, into their relationship with God, and their physical needs are met. That is the kingdom of God. But what is the kingdom of the world in contrast? The kingdom of the world actually is ruled by the prince of the world. Jesus refers to the prince of the world three times in John. Other writers in the Bible refer to Satan, the devil, the prince of the air. But ultimately, the kingdom of the world is the one that is broken in an opposition to God's kingdom, where creation has been is broken. And it's influenced and under the power of Satan. Where there's war and where there's poverty and where there's disease, homelessness, social breakdown, debt, and many other forms of corruption. Now, ultimately, at the second coming, when Jesus comes, the whole world will be restored. But the Bible talks about the time that we're in at the moment is this tension, this end times, where God has come through the form of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is here through Jesus Christ, but he's not yet fully here. The kingdom of God isn't fully here. We talk about the kingdom of God being here, but not yet. Now, but not yet. We see this tension constantly going on, the battle between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And this story, bringing us back to the piece of scripture, is where we see the kingdom of God confront the kingdom of the world. And at that point, there is a power encounter. Now, I want you to imagine a boxing match. Anybody like boxing? Put your hands up if you like. There's one or two. I don't know much about boxing. Don't really like it. But as I was reading this, this was the imagery that the Lord gave to me. So I want you to imagine you're coming to a boxing match, okay? And the contenders. In the blue corner, we have the kingdom of the world represented by this crippled man in this story. And in the red corner, we have the kingdom of God represented by Peter and John. Imagine that's you. You are in the red corner. In the blue corner, representing the kingdom of the world, is this cripple. Consider his situation, the reality. He's been crippled from birth. Now, later on, a chapter later on, Acts, we discover this man is 40 years old. So imagine he's had 40 years being crippled. Imagine the challenges in that society. He can't work. He would have been destitute, hungry. All those normal things of life he can't do. Now, also being a cripple, that's often in those times, the Jewish community saw that being a result of sin of the past, and he would have been an outcast from the Jewish society. And the Bible tells us that he was sitting outside the temple. Now, being an outcast, you couldn't go into the temple. If you can't go into the temple, you can't fulfill your very nature of being a Jew. So, as well as being crippled and denied all the physical things, he was also denied the very essence of what it meant to be a Jew. So his identity and his sense of belonging had been totally stolen from him. Doesn't that poor man represent the brokenness of the world today? A broken world under the influence of the prince of the world. Apostle Peter describes the devil, the prince of this world, in a letter that he is a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. And in fact, Jesus describes the enemy as one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I'd say this man outside the temple gates knows what it means to have his life destroyed and stolen and almost killed. There are people all around us in our communities, in Malvern and in our neighbourhoods, just like this cripple. They may not be physically crippled, but they may be crippled by debt or loneliness or mental health, despair or fear. So that is the contender in the blue corner. Let's flip over to the red corner. That's you. Or let's keep it safe, Peter and John. These people, well, let's be kind to them. They were pretty bumbling old people, not old, bumbling disciples, weren't they? We've been reading. But recently they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They found a confidence and a joy and a courage following Pentecost. Peter and John here, right now, in this story, represent the Spirit-filled church. You and me, if you consider yourself Spirit-filled, and I certainly consider us as a Spirit-filled church. So we have the two contenders. And the reality is they're both very, very ordinary. We've got Peter, who is the fisherman, and we've got this disabled man. They're ordinary people in the context of they're not royalty or any particular. They're ordinary people, you and me. Okay, we're in the boxing ring. The bell goes, ding, ding. Contenders come in. Who's going to throw the first punch? Oh, look, it's the red corner. It's Peter and John. What happens? He declares his punch. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk. It's the knockout punch. The fight is over. And we see the prince of the world immediately defeated. Why? The crippled man's world is utterly transformed. At that moment, he is healed. His ankles become strong. He jumps up. He begins to walk. Imagine the transformation that man's life is about to take in every aspect. What strikes me is that they then go into the temple courts. Imagine that's probably the first time he's been able to go into the temple courts. Imagine that's the first time he's able to own his Jewish identity, his belonging, his sense of who he is as a Jew. As Peter and John, as Spirit-filled believers, they declared the kingdom of God over this man's life, and he was transformed. That was the power encounter right there. That was the knockout punch. So how does that apply to us? What does that mean for you and I today in Malvern, in our communities, amongst our families and friends, or in the workplace? Well, firstly, do we grasp the reality of who we are in Christ? Do we grasp the fact that we are the Spirit-filled church and there is the potential and the possibility that we carry the power of Jesus Christ in us to change people's lives around us? This man regained his dignity. He regained his identity and his self-esteem. What does it mean for you to be involved in CAP, bringing someone out of debt, to go and spend some time with a lonely widower, or invite a bereaved person to the bereavement cafe, to share a word of encouragement or blessing to someone, or even to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, and how, well, the difference that that would mean? Do you believe in here that you will make a difference, that I can make a difference as well? So that's the first thing. Do we actually grasp the reality of the potential that you and I carry? Secondly, Peter and John represented the Spirit-filled church, the whole church, made up by this point of thousands of people in Jerusalem. The church was huge at this time in Jerusalem. Did this crippled man come to church to be healed? No. He was out in the marketplace. That moment, it was Peter and John just alone with them, meeting the crippled man where he was. It's the same with you and I. It's about you and I being out there doing the things that God calls us to do and bringing the kingdom of God where we are, into our front lines, into our workplaces, into our communities. That is what we're called to do. So that was the first thing. The first thing was, do we have the potential and the vision to believe what is possible? Do we know that we are the Spirit-filled church out there in our front lines? The thirdly is, it's worth asking, what is Peter's story up to this point? Peter's story, he was a fisherman, then he joined Jesus, he kept getting it wrong, he kept misunderstanding, he rejected Jesus, he denied, he challenged Jesus, he wasn't always, didn't get it all right, and yet he's reached a point now where he's got to a point of being able to turn around and say with confidence and courage and conviction and with faith, in the name of Jesus, walk. Peter had a story up to that point. Each and every one of us has our own stories. And I believe powerfully, and I think it's a testimony, you look around, that we minister out of our own stories. And what I mean by that is we're all different. We're not all supposed to be the same person, suddenly with the same gift, ministering in the same way. But each of us have our own stories. Do you know your story? Because I think we minister out of the pain and the experience and the joy and the experience of faith that we have in our own life. If we've seen healing, if we've been through difficult divorces, if we've been through difficult times at work, if we've been bankrupt or if we've been through debt, those are the things that we then have the power so much more powerfully to be able to minister. And I wonder where you and what parts of your life, what is it that is your story that you can powerfully minister to other people? I have an utter conviction on the miraculous physical healing because I have both seen and heard about people's miraculous healing physically. And therefore, I have no problem praying for healing. Now, that's not everybody's experience, and that's okay. I also have massive belief in the power of prayer over the weather. I know that's a small thing, but I've just seen time and time again, when we needed a change of weather, the Lord has been kind enough. Now you can go back into that sort of coincidence happen when I pray, or they don't happen. But my point is that you have a story and I have a story, and I think we minister most powerfully out of our stories. So that was the third thing. The fourth thing is that Peter came and said he had nothing to offer. He didn't have gold or silver. But what he did have was the declaration and faith of Jesus Christ. You and I so often don't have anything other than just saying, I believe. And we bring our faith, we bring our story, we bring ourselves into the situation. Now, at times we may well have resources, we may well have gifts, we may well have time which we can offer into a situation. But actually, sometimes we need to be okay to come with nothing, but come in the name of Jesus and bring our faith into that situation. But interestingly, Peter does bring his faith, but what does he also do? What's the first thing he does? He steps forward, picks up the hand of the crippled man and helps him up. He acted, he stepped into, he took a step forward into that confrontation with the world. And I think that's often we need to remember that sometimes we need to step forward with courage and believe. Peter stepped in, but it's okay if we don't have anything. We have Christ in us and all that that carries. And what is the wider effect of what happens? That man's life is utterly and radically turned upside down and transformed. The kingdom of God is about transformation. But what were the ripples that came out of that? It turned Jerusalem once again upside down. The authorities were churned up. people were amazed by what had happened. They started to ask questions. When we step in, when we engage, when we help to bring the kingdom of God into places, there are ripples, many of which we'll never know about, but are testimonies and effects that ripple out, and we can expect that. Mother Teresa said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And it's that great love that transforms love, transforms life. This passage is a wonderful reality and a testimony of what it means to bring the kingdom of God as the spirit-filled church into our front lines and into our communities now, and for the kingdom of God to confront the kingdom of the world and have that power encounter. And it's for us to believe we have the knockout punch. You have the knockout punch, whether you're in your workplace, school ground, with your neighbours, wherever. So as I come into land, the invitation and the commission for us is to be the Peter and Johns of this story in our world. And do you have that vision? Do you believe in that potential that you carry? The power of God in you. Do you know your story? And are there parts of your story that you can minister out of powerfully into other people's lives? Are you alert to spot where you can help and you offer? Is it Colin last week or the week before talking about wanting to build a blessing ministry? What might you be able to offer into that blessing ministry? We all have something, even if it's nothing. And do we appreciate, yes, I'm going to say it again, that each and every one of us are armed and dangerous, and there is a battle to confront to bring the kingdom of God into this world. Now, we heard a story of healing this morning, and I told you that I just love to pray for people for healing, and I believe that God miraculously heals. And this morning, I'd love to pray for healing. It's the Spirit of the Lord who does this. Nothing is impossible for God. And so if you're open to, I just want to ask the Lord to come and minister around us. We can, just in a moment, just ask us to close our eyes and to... And if they've got a part of your life that you would like to see healing. Now, I particularly want to pray for physical healing. So if you've got physical sicknesses that you want to see healed, I'd love to pray for healing for that. But whether it's emotional healing, whether it's spiritual healing, any form of healing in your life, we'd love to pray for you. And we're going to do that by in a moment. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us where we are. And then afterwards, when we've done that for a while, then I think we're going to go back into some worship. But some of us are going to pray at the back in the corner. And if you want to come and be anointed with oil in addition to what the Lord is doing, then we would love to pray for you. But let us just right now, I'm just going to listen to the Lord and see how he wants to do this. But let's close our eyes. We know the Spirit of the Lord is here. But I'm going to say, come, Holy Spirit. So there'll be a greater sort of intensity of awareness of his presence. Lord, we thank you for this testimony of this crippled man who was healed, who leapt up. We thank you, Lord, that you heal today as much as you did in the scripture times. The scriptures time and time again say Jesus healed all the sick who came to him. So there is an act of us coming to Jesus this morning. And if you want to see healing, particularly in an area, I just encourage you to open your hands, open your and offer what it is that you want healing for. to Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring your healing power amongst us. And just in your imagination, give that thing, whatever it is, to the Lord. Imagine it being taken away from you. And if you're able to, say, thank you, Lord, that I am healed. As believers, we live in the spiritual realm as well as the natural realm. Paul tells us we've been lifted up and we sit at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. You are supernatural, heavenly beings as well as natural. In heaven, you are healed. There is no sickness in heaven. It's why we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, Heavenly Father, where you have healed in heaven, we ask for it to be manifested in the natural, in our own lives here on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. We're going to go into a moment of worship, and I just encourage you to stay where you are. Just continue to receive the Holy Spirit and His healing. Some of us are going to be at the back at the corner. We're going to pray for those who want to be prayed for further. Please come to the back. Please don't leave here without being prayed for if you want to press into that healing in your life. Let me finish in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, continue to help us to have revelation as to who we are and how we can bring the kingdom of God into our front lines. And Lord, thank you for the healing that is going on here. Thank you for your presence here. Help us to continue to be that Spirit-filled church, knowing the power of your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.